Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett and I'm your host. Thanks for listening. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Today, I have Colin Gray, a return guest on the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thanks for having me again.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since you've been on and kind of just wanted to give people an update. You've been doing a lot of things in the past year or so since you've been on the show, and you're still very active in the podcasting community. So I figured it was high time to get you back on here.
Yeah, well, happy to share. Happy to update.
Definitely. So we have a few things to talk about with you, and then at the end, kind of just go over a podcasting topic that was in the news recently. But let's get started talking about what you've been up to. You are working on an app for podcasters. So yes, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Do you know what? I never know exactly what to call it, because when I say app, people always expect it to be a mobile app. Mm-hmm. So it's a web app, really. Mm-hmm. The intention is we're building something based around a real customer need. It's all the people that come to our website. One of the most common questions we get is, how do I edit my show? Or more likely, how little can I edit my show? How little can I get away with? Mm-hmm. Or then you go into the detail of like, what volume should it be? How do I export it? What bitrate? All that kind of stuff. It's a lot of stuff around the technical side of things, of creating the final MP3, basically. So we looked into whether we could essentially create a robot that would put us out of business. Because that's kind of what we do, or mm-hmm. we did certainly, was production. You know, people would create their raw recording. They'd get on there, they'd get on Skype and do an interview, or they'd do a raw recording on a solo show, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They'd send us the resulting audio files. And our job was to make it sound pretty, to put the branding on, to edit out the mistakes, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so that is the job of our web application, which is called Alitu, A-L-I-T-U. So the principle is that you upload your raw bit of audio. We make it sound good through a bunch of different processes, make sure the levels are all right. We add your branding, which is the intro music, the outro music. We have a few different ways that you can interrelate your branding with the recording. So you can have like your intro music playing underneath the start of the recording, mm-hmm. or fade into all that kind of stuff. We've got better control over that. And then we can publish it for you as well. And now that automated process is designed to make it really quick and simple for people to get a show done. You just do the recording, you press publish, and we do the rest, right. Basically. There's nothing hugely unique there. There's a few other tools out there in the market that can do similar. The way that we're making Alitu stand out is that beyond that, we also do assisted editing and assisted production. So we've actually got some editing tools in here too. So you can trim your show. You know, if you need to take off a bit of silence at the start and the end, you can trim it. Mm-hmm. You can take out some mistakes from internally. So you can cut out a few bits, and we've got a really nice, I'm really proud of how the interface has come out. We've made it really simple, really good looking way of cutting stuff out. So it doesn't look like Audacity or Audition or anything like that. It's much nicer. And then we've got our episode builder, which is something I'm really excited to hear much more of people's reactions to, because in here you can upload 4 or 5 recordings. You may or may not have edited them. We've made them sound good though. You can reorder them, you can put beds under some, you can do transitions between the two, you can add in adverts, listener call-ins, that kind of stuff. Basically arrange an episode in a really visual way and make the sort of transitions between each section really kind of polished and nice as well. And from there, you can export the whole thing. So that's the way it works. You can go that kind of automated route and do it really quickly, or you can do our kind of assisted route and create something much more complex, but in a really easy way. That's the intention anyway.
I like the idea of being able to make a more complex, or what seems to be a more edited and styled episode, but still have it be very easy to do, because I know that holds a lot of people back, or that they take forever to figure out how to do that, because it is a honed skill that people have.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of, we're looking to put in templates, like lots of different little templates. Mm-hmm. that help people emulate the way that really professional producers produce a bit of audio.
Correct.
It's kind of like, it's almost a bit like Canva, but for audio. You know, like you put a picture in Canva and they've got all these lovely looking templates that make you look like a designer. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have these templates that make you look like an audio engineer, whereby if you upload, you know, a 3-minute clip of you speaking, we can help you, you know, transition from one thing through a rising bed down into a sort of 20%, you know, behind the speaking music that plays underneath that and then rises up at the end and then goes out again. And there's different sort of standard ways that you can make segments sound nice and polished. And we're going to make that really easy for people.
That transition will make a podcast stand out very quickly to some people as opposed to other editing styles, that's for sure.
Yes.
So
yeah, a little bit of polish goes a long way, really.
Yes, it does. So you said that, I mean, you jokingly said at the beginning, we decided to kind of put ourselves out of business with this app. So why did you decide to go forward with this desktop app?
I mean, yeah, I mean, the production side of things, we still, the team here, I mean, I don't really get involved that much. Well, that's not true. I was going to say I don't get involved in the sort of heavy production stuff that much, but I actually, the last project we did, I did most of the editing on it. but the intention always was for us to really kind of take on only production projects that we were really interested in. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that we enjoy, but it's not stuff the company relies on. It's not really the bulk of our income, basically.
Okay.
So we work with clients that have really interesting projects. We don't really do the day-to-day, the week-to-week editing. You know, somebody sending us a basic bit of audio and we try and get it back to them within a few days so they can get out that week. It's just not something that, do you know what? It's not that much fun.
Yeah.
To do it week in, week out. It's great working with clients. We love the people we work with, but that kind of weekend grind is just not, it's not where we're adding real value. Anyone can do that. That's the trouble. The ones we can add a real value to are the quite creative projects where you've got to create a season of 12 episodes and we actually do narration and script writing and all that kind of stuff. So the intention is with Alitu, that's going to take over that kind of weekly grind type stuff.
Gotcha.
It's the simpler episodes where it's either just one recording or maybe it's three or four recordings you want to piece together and do a bit of polish. And it's the less complex stuff, which lets us take on more of the big complex projects that we're really interested in.
Okay, that makes much more sense now.
And also, you know, there's a simple fact that a lot of companies can't afford the prices that production companies charge. I mean,
absolutely not.
Sort of, even when we were still doing it, it's like £300 to £400 a month type of thing to get four episodes done. And most small companies or solopreneurs can't really afford that. So we're trying to offer a way to be able to do that, to get a lot of your production effort stress taken away from you, but for a much lower cost. So that's the plan.
That makes a very good point, because a lot of the time for those entrepreneurs and those people that are trying to do this on their own to take it to the next step and have that high quality and whatnot, they need someone to help them because they don't have time, they don't have the chops to learn this quickly enough to keep on pace with the rate that they're trying to grow and whatnot, and, you know, get in that audience that they want.
Yeah,
so this will help take care of that, but for a lower cost, it seems. So that's great.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend it's as flexible as an actual producer. That's why you pay a bit more for a real producer, because it's a human being that can make decisions. But we've got it to the stage where it's actually really good at kind of adapting to different people's audio, different volumes, different configurations and stuff like that. So it does a lot of the good job for much lower. Yeah.
So what stage are you at right now? Are you finished beta testing or a round of beta testing earlier this month?
Yeah, we've been beta testing. It's been open to beta testers since just after Christmas, actually.
Oh, okay.
So we've had about three months worth now. More, actually, 4 months. And during May, we're transitioning into a paid product, really.
Okay,
so
great.
A fair few of our beta testers are now paying for the product. They've been happy enough with it and really enjoyed testing it out that they're now paying for it. And we're doing a proper public launch. Hopefully, this will probably go out a bit later, but as we're speaking, hopefully next week, actually.
Oh, okay, perfect.
But if not, then the week after at the latest. So that'll be the end of May, hopefully.
Okay. So very, very shortly after this episode goes out. So that's great.
Exactly.
Explain the name. if you can, if there's anything behind it.
Do you know what? It's a slightly strange story in that I used to dabble in all sorts of things on the web, and I bought a bunch of websites back in like 2008, 2009, just playing around with different things.
I feel like every podcaster has done that. Just randomly bought a lot of domains.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, at one point I had about 200, I think. Uh-huh. I've whittled it down, so I've got under 100 now. I'm just in double figures now. But
good.
But funnily enough, Alitu, A-L-I-T-U it is. So it's a five-letter domain that I managed to get mm-hmm. back in about 2009, which had a business directory on it at the time that was making a bit of money. And it was making sort of a few hundred pounds a month at the time. And I bought it on that basis and ran it just for a few years. But it just threw, as many things did with as Google got cleverer and more discerning, it kind of died off a little bit because I wasn't really putting any effort into content for it. And so I just retired it, but I still owned the domain. And I was thinking about how to name the product last year when mm-hmm. we started looking into this. And there's the standard kind of options, isn't there? You think like, I'd like to make this quite explanatory. So shall we make it like the podcast production tool or the podcast production robot or produceyourpodcast.com or mm-hmm. something like that? But I just didn't really, none of it rang with me. And in the end, I'm hoping this will go beyond podcasting because we're building in video as well. So we can take a video and we can actually repurpose that video into audio, can take the video, the audio track off the video, and we can publish video and audio at the same time. And
very
we can
smart.
Cut videos up into smaller segments. So podcasters, for example, we can't do this right now, but in the very near future, we'll be able to, if you record your podcast on video, for example, you do a Zoom or a Skype interview and you record the whole video, you'll be able to actually upload that video file and then take highlights from that video and publish them to YouTube. So you can say, right, this 2-minute segment's a really good little segment. I want to publish that bit to YouTube, but I want the full thing for the podcast, that type of stuff. So the intention is to make it a real kind of repurposing tool as well. So that was the other reason I didn't want to name it podcast specific mm-hmm. because I wanted to appeal to like YouTubers or bloggers even that want to create media around their blog. So in the end, to be honest, I looked at the domains I had and I thought, you know what, a 5-letter domain is really valuable. It's quite easy to say. Mm-hmm. I think we can build a little character around this. And that's basically what we did. We just went for it, created a little robot character, which is now the brand. So Alitu is the wee robot that helps you make your podcast. So there's not really any kind of real kind of meaning behind it, apart from the fact that it's a domain I've owned for 10 years and I just like it.
I think that's great though. So often I see things in podcasting have the word podcast in it and it just seems a tad on the boring side.
Yeah. It keeps it flexible. It does take a bit to explain. There's kind of different ways that you could spell it. So it's not perfect. But to be honest, these days, it's so hard to find a really good domain anyway. So
honestly,
you're always making trade-offs anyway.
I get it. I mean, no one would think of Twitter or Uber or anything like that as anything, you know, that of those words being associated to what they actually are. So I get it. I like it.
Yeah. So yeah, perfect. Okay, good. I'm glad you approve.
Mm-hmm. I do approve. So you've been working on that. That sounds great. I'm going to put in a little bit of information about that in the show notes. But other than that, you're also speaking at Podcast Movement this summer mm-hmm. in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back into the US, actually. And I missed Podcast Movement last year, actually, which I really regretted in the end. But this will be my third Podcast Movement. Mm-hmm.
So what is your session or panel or track, I guess?
Yeah, my talk.
I don't know what to call it.
I know. They always have different names, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's a talk. I would call it a talk.
Okay.
My talk is on 9 ways to cut the time it takes to ship your podcast.
Ooh.
That's short and sharpie. But basically the point of it is that we've, and it's kind of related to the Alitu stuff, I suppose, and all the production work that we've done. And it's about making a podcast more sustainable. You know what it's like? Like the main reason that people drop out of podcasting is they don't run out of things to say. It's that they run out of steam in terms mm-hmm. of the production time. Mm-hmm. Like they can no longer afford the 3 hours it's taken them to produce their show every single week.
Yep.
So there's loads of stuff that we've done over the past few years, like producing hundreds and hundreds of podcast episodes, loads of things we've learned around how to make it quicker, how to make it simpler, how to basically I mean, we create, so to take an example, Podcraft. Podcraft is our show about podcasting. So yes. How to podcast, how to make a better podcast. And that show, Matthew and I record it together. Matthew's another guy on the team here. It takes us maybe 10 minutes to plan it out. It takes us maybe 15 to 20 minutes to record. And then the edit, we can keep the edit down to about half the time of the recording. So less than 10 minutes.
That's fantastic.
And that's all of those things are kept so short through a bunch of things, a bunch of tactics, a bunch of techniques that we use around how to plan, how to record, how to edit, even bigger picture, like how to set out a whole podcast season, for example, like even just planning in seasons as opposed to planning individual episodes, that saves you time as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be everything from the planning techniques right down to the editing tactics. So like real sort of technical, this is how you can edit in a much quicker way. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that actually. It's first time in a while I'll have done a real kind of tactical talk, like really going into tips and tricks and showing things on the board. Like here's really how we edit something and stuff like that. So yeah, it should be good fun.
Got a lot of new things to talk about. So that'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it'll be good fun. It'll be good.
So just for anyone that does not know, Podcast Movement is July 23rd through 26th or 27th, sometime, you know, basically Monday through Friday of that week in Philadelphia. You can get your ticket at podcastmovement.com and we would love to see you guys there. So. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Yeah. Anyone that's coming out in my audience or whatever wants to say hello, just say hello. It'd be good to get in touch on Twitter.
Definitely. Okay, so you have the app, you are speaking at Podcast Movement, and is there anything else going on in your podcasting world? You manage the podcast host with, you said, Matt earlier, so
yes.
It seems you guys have been putting out more and more articles and information pieces about podcasting in general for the past couple of years, so give us a little inside scoop on that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's all good stuff. We've actually just taken on somebody new to help us with the content because we're just trying to get a handle on our process for getting articles out there. Because that's kind of, it's slightly ironic in that we're a podcasting company and we do create lots of podcasts, but actually the majority of people that come to our content is through text. So it's the blog is what does the best for us in terms of real volume of people. Mm-hmm. I think it's partly because I was writing podcast articles back in 2011, 2012. And at the time, people were talking about podcasting, how to podcast, but everyone was doing a podcast about it. Yes. Nobody was really writing about it. Yes. So thepodcasthost.com, the site I started, did really well because it was one of the only written resources on podcasting at the time. So we try and capitalize on that because people, I mean, we love podcasts. I listen to more podcasts and I read blogs, but it's still useful to be able to skim through text articles and how to do things. So really, it's kind of, just ramping that up. So Scott came on a couple of weeks ago and he's taken hold of our content calendar, really putting a lot more organization around the stuff we're getting out there, making sure we're covering all the gaps, refreshing a lot of the older content, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's good, kind of doubling down on that and trying to get out at least three articles a week plus at least one episode of Podcraft. And then we've got a few other shows as well. So we've got Hostile Worlds, which is our space show. Mm-hmm. And we've got a few things going on. So a few client shows are going out just now too. So that's all good fun. And then the Academy, obviously, as well. So we run our membership. That's kind of where we teach people. That's our premium offering, which is, it's a funny thing that the membership. We've got some great people in there. We've got over 100 members and
that's
some
great.
Brilliant people doing brilliant things. But it's kind of, over the last little while, actually, I've been thinking about changing it up a little bit, just because it's just a standard membership at the moment, you know, the kind of courses, coaching, live sessions, that kind of thing. But we're changing up a wee bit in terms of making it more into a self-service kind of university style thing, whereby there's a curriculum that you go through from start to finish and making it much more organized and much more directive and actually lowering the cost because we're going to take out a little bit of our live coaching because people just weren't really using it. So if we take that out, we can lower the cost a bit, let more people get in, more people find our use our learning materials to get a show out there and still get some live coaching along the way. So it's just something I'm trying to figure out just now is how best to do that rather than just follow the standard membership coaching type template, like try and do something different actually that really works for us.
You kind of have to though. You have to be able to adapt not only for yourself, but as the industry changes a little bit and the people that are podcasting now are not going to be the exact type of people that were podcasting, 4 years ago. So
yes,
it's important to make those changes. So kudos to you, because not everyone will do that. I feel like there is some resistance sometimes with people that are like, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I'm like, maybe you just don't realize that it's a little bit broken. Sometimes I think people have to be a little more critical of the things that they're actually putting out there like that.
Well, ours just wasn't. I mean, a lot of the value in a membership like that, I think, is in it. Well, I don't think, I know it's in the members, isn't it? It's not even, I mean, there's a bit of value added by myself and Matthew and Scott and the advice that we can offer and the courses we put in. But a lot of it is around the other people that are in there. And it wasn't growing quick enough. It just wasn't, we weren't getting enough new people in there to really keep it fresh and bring in new opinions and stuff like that. And so that just gave me an indication that there's something we could do better. There's obviously other things that we can offer that would really incentivize people to come in and help them get more shows out there. So, yeah, so that's the idea. Just try and figure out, talk to more people, basically talk to more customers, talk to more people that come to our website and really figure out what we can do to help folk get more podcasts out there into the world.
Well, that's great. Okay, so what is it? What is the domain that people can find all this information on?
Oh, the thepodcasthost.com is the main website. That's where you can go for all our free stuff. And there's plenty. I mean, you can do everything. You can launch a show and grow it off all of the free stuff we put out there. But the Academy is really kind of a more structured and a bit more support and more video and stuff like that. So, and that's over at thepodcasthost.com/Academy.
Okay, great. So people, take a look at that. And I wanted to talk about one last thing before we wrap up here, just one news bit. Colin, I mentioned this earlier and you said you kind of just caught the headlines and weren't really, didn't really know a lot. I am not claiming to know a lot either, but I am just want to bring up that Audioboom is having some issues and I encourage people to take a look into what is going on and make sure that they are okay. And just to kind of ensure that people are paying attention to what is happening in the podcasting community. So Audioboom, if people are not aware, has been having some financial woes. As of recently, they were going to partner or buy, I think buy Triton Digital.
And buy over, I think that was right.
That is now not happening. They just don't, they don't have the money for it. So they don't have the money for that. So that is falling through, which they brought up quite a bit ago. And also it came to light that they have not been paying their podcasters for their advertisements that they've been doing. So that is rubbing people the wrong way for sure, as I can't imagine. It's an awkward situation when something like that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about clarity, isn't it? If you're if you're a company that's in that situation, then people understand. I mean, if you're honest with people and say, like, this is the situation, this is the trouble we're going through right now, we realize we've been running ads for you, but right now we don't have the funds to output it. Right. But here's the plan. Either we're going to, well, we're hoping to be able to do it in 2 weeks' time. And if we can't, then here's what we're going to do to make it up to you. And if we can't make it up to you, then to be totally honest, then here's the kind of worst case scenario. You know, it's just kind of about honesty and openness, I guess. Like the thing that rubs people up the wrong way is when it just, they don't know what's going on, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I know that some people have been, like, I mean, I had spoken to a person or two that had mentioned that they were not getting paid. So I knew that that was happening. I just did not know how much of the scale that was, because they told me it was happening to them and quite a few other people that they knew with Audioboom. I just did not know that it was basically everyone. So I last I heard, they were stating that their long-term financial plan is still solid as a company, that they're okay. I have no idea what that actual plan is to get ahead and get afloat and kind of get back into the good graces of some people. So that people should investigate on their own, especially if they have Audioboom. And it's just one of those scenarios of, yes, it's super easy to choose services sometimes of, you know, who you're going to work with for your podcast and for your business. But it's one of those things where maybe you should actually keep tabs of what they're doing and look at their history a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, people shouldn't choose certain companies. I'm just saying that when you're relying on services, I tend to dig a little deeper and, you know, want to know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder whether that would have been... there's companies, obviously, that do quite well and then suddenly it kind of goes off a cliff or something because their funding runs out or someone's... the rug's pulled out from under them. So you can understand that people get in situations where all the digging in the world maybe still would not uncover something that's going to happen.
Absolutely. But yeah, I know what I mean.
You've got to do your due diligence on any company you're going to be working with.
Definitely. So there is a little bit of, I don't know if you all want to call it anger or frustration happening for some people out there at the moment, but it seems to be at least on a small scale. So I always want to keep new podcasters and anyone listening to this show that is just interested in podcasting in general up to date with information like that. So
yes, indeed.
Just that heads up. So, all right, Colin, thank you for being on the show today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in July.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I can't wait to catch up with the team again. That'll be good. And all the rest of the podcasting community, because, you know, we're based in the UK, so sometimes feel a little bit out of it with the majority of you lot over in the US, of course.
Yeah, do you guys have any events or conferences in the UK that you would say for people over there is kind of like a critical one to go to? Because we kind of say that about Podcast Movement, like if you're here, this is the one to go to. Is there anyone like that over there?
Yeah, for sure. There's no podcast specific ones. There's nothing solely about podcasting. Not since Mike and Isabella Russell actually used to run. They started one called the first one was just called UK Pod 14. That morphed into New Media Europe.
Yep.
And that ran for a couple of years, but that actually stopped back in last one was 2016. Mm-hmm. But since then, actually, the Content Marketing Academy is a really good one. So that's based in Edinburgh, and that's based around all digital content, obviously. So it's blogging, video, and podcasting. But they always have a really good representation for podcasting. So I've spoken at it a couple of times about podcasting, for example, and other people have too. And there's always loads of podcasters at it. Then you've got recently, so last year you had Youpreneur, Chris Ducker's event. And that had a lot of digital media creators, a lot of content creators, and a really big podcasting element at it as well. There was a lot of live podcasts getting recorded at that event. So I mean, that's more about running an online business, I suppose, or building a personal brand, I suppose, is Chris's take. But there's definitely a big need for podcasting in that space. So that was a good one for that. Other than that, I'll admit that's about it in terms of content creation stuff. There's nothing else like high on the radar, certainly, that I would recommend. So yeah, that's why I tend to get across to America relatively often.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be happy to see you, and maybe one day we'll get ourselves out to an event in the UK. Because I know a couple of years ago we helped sponsor the New Media Europe one, I think back in 16. Yeah. So always kind of keeping an eye out of what's going on over there. Maybe one day we can do it.
Well, I've been part of a few different conversations about whether we should try and start up a podcast specific event in the UK again. So you never know. Maybe probably wouldn't be this year now, but maybe by next year there'll be something for you to come and visit.
Okay.
You never know.
All right. I'm going to hope so.
Cool.
Thanks, Colin, for being on. That was episode 71. Don't quote me on that. I know I should be the one to know out of all people, but...
It's always hard to keep track. It's easy to get lost.
I got over 50 and I kind of just lost track. So thanks for listening, everyone, and I'll be back in 2 weeks.